Hello, folks, and welcome back to another installment, another show of Better Not Call Saul. I thank you all for listening. I thank you for joining me today. Today, I'm just going to make this show about sacred texts. I'm going to make this show about the psychology and the philosophy of the sacred text. Now, let me read something to you. Now, pardon me, I'm not the best of readers, but I get along just fine. Here we go. The further development of the secret doctrine of the Son in the post-biblical period occurred in such Merkabah chariots, works as 3 Enoch, the third book of Enoch, and the Shi'ur, and the Koma, generally dated within the 2nd and 4th century CE. Though the origin of this literature tradition is a much contested issue, as Joseph Dan has most recently summarized the controversy, the standard position is that the Gershom Scholium and Saul Lieberman, one that views the Heschelon and the Merkabah esoteric traditions as a secret stratum of mysticism in the heart of the Talmudic Mizrach religion world. As if these ideas, the many multitudes of levels of mystery in the heart of the Talmud and the religious world, as if the ideas were always there coexisting with the timeless source of the rabbinic literature. That's what I'm talking about. See, the Talmudic literature or the Torah is a literature made and written to the true Israelite Semitic people. And the Semitic people have the origin of the mysteries of the unknown. Now, these are the things that were always there, that were always known and always coexist. Now, this is just me talking here. I ended the sentence. I just wanted to read you that little bit of portion. I'm going to read it again later on because this is a lot. This is a meaty paragraph because it's basically the history and the origin of the rabbinic text. And it brings up such works like the Book of Enoch and the Shi'ur and the Qumran. Or the Quran. Now, these three esoterical teachings is to say the forefront of all mysticism, if you will. This is basically the secret doctrine of the Kabbalah, which many people don't really study the Kabbalah. They study, nowadays, they are studying the Torah, which is great because the Torah is the base of the Kabbalah or the Talmud. So now that we kind of got that out of the way, this basically is a statement that the founding persons who studied back in the day, Saul Lieberman, which is probably like a few hundred years ago, he says that the mysticism had always coexisted, and it was always a timeless type thing, or it was always basically a tradition. And it is basically the tradition that the Christ spoke about, is the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of healing, the spirit of the spirit of knowledge. And it was that we are, this knowledge that has been shrouded over and now kind of been pushed under the veil, if you will. And now it's only practiced in secret societies. It's practiced undertonely in churches and synagogues and buildings of prayer and places of, like, you know, tranquility. That mystical element is there, you know. This is what they're talking about when a certain ground becomes holy ground. It's that awe-inspiring mysticism of the known, of the knowing of the unknown God. Now, he's known now, but in that knowing or gnosis, you get knowledge. And this is the knowledge of the unknown, the knowledge of the secret things of the Most High, the secret goings of the world, the spiritual elements that is in the world that most people are not seeing. Now, all it takes sometimes is a quiet time and just a look. Hold on. And this is what the secret doctrine of the Kabbalah is really illuminating, because it is an illumination, because it's an enlightenment. It's an enlightenment unto the next level of mysticism, because it seems like mysticism goes from glory to glory as well. So when one mystery is in the works, another mystery is coming to pass. This is sort of like how prophecies work. While one prophecy is fulfilled, another prophecy is being fulfilled. So it's really the secret workings of how the universe works. It's a universal geometry, if you will. Inside the sacred doctrine of the Kabbalah, they talk about this gematria, or this sacred numerology doctrine, and how the doctrine, or how you, I read a wonderful take on this particular doctrine, or this particular canon, and it came from a writer back in the 16th and 17th century. It was Immanuel Kant, and he kind of explained this, this mysticism, or this embodiment, or the indwelling of the mysteries, as like an energy force. And it is. You can go into that energy and you can come out of that energy, you know, at will. And this is all based on the doctrine of the Torah. Because it's like a matrix, if you will. It's like a matrix of living in reality. In some versions of the Bible, it says that this matrix is opened by the first children of God and those who hear his commandments, right? So the hearing of this aspect brings a sort of listening ear, a way to like listen in on the spiritual realm and just listen and look, and you can see things unfolding. You know, you can see the unfolding of different things in people's lives. You can see the unfolding of different events in the world. You can see the unfolding of the different escalations. And these are all parallel, or coexist, or coincide inside this mystery, this grand multi-dimensional mystery. It's a multi-dimensional mystery because it is the code of this particular universe. Outside of this universe, it's a different code. It's a different universal code. It's a different universal structure altogether. If you take the Earth and you put it in a different universe, we're going to get a totally different interaction with the universe that we're in. But still, we're supposed to embrace the uni or the unity of that universe. The only thing we are doing in this life is embracing the unity of this universe. And we come and coincide. And then we become vessels of the universe. We become vessels of it. You know what I mean? And this is how the spirit of the mysteries dwell in you. It's the same spirit that Jesus or the Christ or the Mashiach or whatever name we would like to give him at this point is talking about the spirit of prophecy, the prophecy of things to come, things that are happening, and things that will be. So, now this is the second time me actually reading this book. I read this book, the title of this book is called The Secret Doctrine of the Kabbalah. And it's written by Leonora Leet. And I read it in 2014. I think I read it in 2014. I read it in 2014. It was a really good read. And what had happened was, I had all this read before. I had all the spots highlighted. I had all the notes I wanted to take or with the first book. Okay, someone came and they said, oh yeah, let me borrow this book. I never got the book back to this day. And I'm not planning on getting the book back because the person that had the book, he's no longer in the land of the living. So I never got that book back. So I just recently got another one and I'm going to give it a second read. Now, this is insurmountable because I know the second read is going to bring more revelation than the first time I read it, because the correlation of and the aspects of my life is different now than it was in 2014. It's now 2023, May 13th, by the way, in case anybody wanted to know what date it was. But what I'm saying is this. The level of revelation you can get from reading higher revelation information is a good way to give the mind the proper fundamentals in order for thinking to start, for you to start churning juices on your mental faculties. Because once you think on the things of the high or the things of the infinite or the things of the eternal, you are going to be thinking, and you're going to be thinking really, really well. You're going to be turning up more brain synapses firing, because you're going to have to put things that's in your brain that hasn't been at work for some time to work, basically. So this is my second read, and this is going to be a great read because of the simple fact that I've already read this and it was good the first time I read it. It was extremely good. so much that I wanted to read it again as a second time around, but man, I had to wait.
Can I take one more?
Yes, you can take one more, absolutely. So, it's going to be an absolutely wonderful read. Because the amount of insight or the amount of information is infinite. It's just as infinite as the text that they are writing about. Let me tell you. Due to there's not many findings or... One moment.
Thank you for calling Holiday Express. How may I help you?
No, Kamisha's not here. Thank you. But now that I got that little pause, let me read it to you again. The further development of the sacred or the secret doctrine of the Son in the post-biblical period occurs in such Merkava chariot works as 3 Enoch and the She'er Qam'ah, generally dated within the 2nd to the 4th century CE. Though the origin of this literature tradition is a much contested issue, and the contest is the rightful owners of the said doctrine. The rightful owners are to Israel because that's the firstborn. So I go on, but who has it now is the Jewish people, and that they only have it because they are working the documents. Let me tell you. See, we as African American people, we think anything outside of Jesus the Christ, as they say, is taboo or a voodoo or a hoodoo or whatever the case may be. But it is the fact that they are practicing what we are supposed to practice, and they are inflicting the practice on us. Now, you see, now I just want to be as frank as I can be. All of America is definitely under the spell of magic. Now, I don't know if it's as obvious because of the documents you're reading. But let me tell you something. In the Quran, it explicitly say countless times, this is no other than magic. Because it wants us to be able to identify when we are being mystified. And the levels of mysticism that we are under are trifold. Trifold. It's plain and simple. The elites are practicing magic, and the people are the victim. Plain as day. Now, I don't know what you're going to do about it, but I know what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to learn, and I'm going to practice it back. I'm just keeping it 100. I'm not going to throw no shade, and I'm not going to sugarcoat shit. Because I, frankly, am not a pawn. As simple as that. When I made the choice to practice, it was in 2018. It was 2018. I had just got out of prison. And I had noticed how I was just used as a pawn in their game. It was unmistakably And I said to myself, I'm not going to be a pawn again. And I'm not having nobody practice. And I'm not practicing back. So I decided to step into the arena. Oh, this is where we got. Oh, she cannot be now here with no shoes on. This lady got her kids walking around with no shoes on in the lobby. She know how dirty these floors is, even though we cleaned it. Guess not. It's not like he's sitting there grounded better because he's crying. So that's not working for him. But I digress from my point. Oh my God. I may have to actually go into another room. Can't believe she brought him down here instead of keeping him in that room. Can I believe this? You see how people got no respect? He could have cried up in the room. Oh, he's quiet now. Now I think I can go on. Maybe not. She could have lulled his ass in the room. In the room she just checked in. But I digress. What I'm saying, folks, is this is why you better not call me. Because I'm going to tell you where to get down and where to get off. Just like the freaking A-Tray. That bad boy is an express all the time. And these people are expressively practicing magic on you. Expressively practicing open magic. Everything that you see going on in the court, you can rest assured that the judge already did his freaking rites and rituals before that whole case is done. Facts. Why? Because you probably got a brotherhood meeting every other week. And whatever fraternity he's a part of, whatever elite group he's a part of, this is how it's done. This is a spiritual world. And we are spiritual people having a natural experience. Now, the idea is to have your own spiritual experience in the world, not be a natural casualty. Jesus Christ. She could not take this little badass baby outside. It's fucking sunny as shit outside. It's nice outside. Right now, it's 80 degrees outside. 80 freaking degrees. She got his ass in there whining. You cannot believe this bull. This is why I digress. All I'm saying is this. When people are practicing open magic on you, you practice it back. Because I'm not in the business of being a victim of sorcery. Simple as that. You take that right back to the bank. They've been doing that for 300-400 years. You don't think by any chance that it wasn't sorcery that kept us in mental slavery. It was exactly sorcery. Because you cannot put nobody under a spell without entrapping the mind. Simple. So I just get on today to give y'all a little bit. Just a little bit. Oh, she's taking this badass back upstairs. Go on now. Jesus fucking Christ. Take that whiny baby upstairs. You didn't want to hear that in the back of my show. And I didn't want you to hear it. It's only a 30-minute show. If you listen to crying for 10 minutes of the show, you probably are not going to tune in. So let me read this to you again, because you want to know why? Repetitiveness. It says, the further development of the secret doctrine of the Son in the post-biblical period occurs in such Merkava chariot works as the third book of Enoch and the Shi'ur, the Koma, generally dated within the 2nd and 4th century CE, although the origin of this literary tradition is a much contested issue. As Joseph Dan has most recently summarized this controversy, the standard position of this is that the Gershom Scholium and Saul Lieberman, one of the views of the Heschelot and the Merkava esoteric tradition as a secret stratum of mysticism. In the heart of the Talmudic Midrash religion world. Period, it says. As if these ideas, period, were always there, coexisting with the timeless source of rabbinical literature. Now, the rabbinical literature is timeless because it is outside of time. And now they're having a meeting in there. Guess they're having a meeting in the lobby. Guess they're going to a show. I'm glad I'm out here. But what the case really is obvious magic. It's obvious magic. It was obvious magic in 2015 when I went to prison, and it was obvious magic now. And the obvious magic is basically this. It's basically to end or severely wound the life of any and all African-American people. That's it. That's what it's for. And the ratio of injury to African-American people is going to be sky high because the machine, if you will, is pointed at them. At us. So all I'm doing, me personally, is redirecting the point. I'm pointing it right back at them. That's all I'm doing. That's all I'm doing. Woody. Well, that's my show for today, folks. Just wanted to give you a quick half hour. I'm not going to keep you because time is money. So y'all have a great day. Happy Sabbath to you. May your blessings shine upon you. May God look you right into the face and smile on you and say, I see you. I know you're there and I am on your side. I'm out. Peace.